This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Okay, welcome along to the Retro Asylum podcast. This is episode number 34 and a half. I'm Matt Denaris, and I am going to talk about the SID chip. But the SID chip has been done so many times before. Everyone knows about this sound chip. Everyone knows what it was capable of, what it sounded like, and some of the great, great tunes that were produced on the SID and continue to be produced on the SID. But this is a kind of a follow-on from Swaney's podcast on the AY chip and the beeper from the Spectrum, where he picked out some lesser known tunes maybe on that system, although some of them in my opinion were quite well known as well. But what I intend to do on this one, hence the title of the show, is take you through some lesser known and in some cases completely unknown SID tunes, so you can hear that it wasn't just a one trick pony. It wasn't just the sound that you know and love from the SID. Of course it was and it is, and some of these tunes are going to display exactly the same type of sounds and the same type of character as those tunes that everyone loves and knows. But I'm going to dig a little bit deeper, dig under the surface, and show you exactly what it was capable of if you chose to push it a little bit further in some cases. So I'm going to interlace this as well with the odd bit of technical speak, what the SID was about, what its technical specifications were, who designed it, why it was designed, for instance, and what makes it such a wonderful sound chip. And that's not to say that I'm going to pop in a couple of well-known tunes as well, and one particular one, which I think needs to be played because it just shows the diverse sound that the SID could produce when tweaked and pushed around a little bit further. So what am I going to play you first? First is a tune by a musician which I would say produced some of the best SID music out there and had a very distinct sound, and whatever platform he's made music on has sort of exhibited that real distinct sound. Tim Follin, not quite sure how you say it, was most famous probably for Leadstorm and Bionic Commando. And Bionic Commando is one of those tunes I'm going to play a bit later on just to show you the sound you could get out of the SID. But first up is Agent X2, which was released by Mastertronic, so I can only assume it was a budget game. And this, I think, is one of the level tunes, and this is really, really nice. We'll be right back. exhibiting some of the trademark sounds Tim Folin used to use, the arpeggiation, the proper arpeggiation in sort of chip music from the 8-bit days and so on. Very quick arpeggiated chords were used to get a full-on chord sound. Arpeggiation is where a note is played really, really quickly, and it's usually, well, an arpeggiation is where a note goes up the scale really, really quickly. So C, D, A, E, G, you know, really, really quickly, and it creates a kind of a chord sound. Tim Folin slowed all that down and used proper arpeggiation, where it's sort of the falling notes from downwards on the scale, down an octave. And that was a technique he used in a lot of his tunes. Again, Led Storm was the one that really made Tim Folin what he was. But yeah, next up we have one from a guy called Ryan Overhand and Anthony Lees. I don't know whether I say that right. I've mentioned him in another podcast. He has gone on to great things in the world of music, Ryan or Rian. And his style was very, very distinctive, and you can hear that it was a lot more current sounding at the time. Last Ninja Remix is the game it was from. And yeah, it's a remix of Matt Gray's Last Ninja 2 tunes, because Last Ninja Remix was essentially Last Ninja 2 but remixed and released on cartridge, I believe. I remember having it on cartridge. I remember getting it the year it came out. And this tune, the bass at the beginning just shows you how warm and deep the Sid can sound compared to a lot of the other sound chips. This is, I don't know whether this is the title theme tune or again a level theme tune, but it's the one that sticks with me the most. And again, it's that bass at the start, very, very thick and warm sounding. Check this one out. Bass sound at the start, the way it sort of, well, well, essentially it filters upwards is by using filters. Filters is what removes frequencies from sound. So every sound that you hear in the world has a frequency, has a certain, has a various range of frequencies in it. Bass sounds sit a lot further down the frequency spectrum. And what you've got at the start there is an example of the low pass filter being used. Like I said, I'm going to try and interlace this with some technical chat as well, which you might not understand, you might not want to really care about, you just want to hear some of the tunes, but there's going to be some people who really want to hear about that. And the filter in the SID was a little bit glitchy, but it's just produced a really nice sound. It is said to be analog. To put that into such a small chip was quite a feat, really. The filter capable of low pass, high pass is where lower frequencies from a sound are removed, and a band pass is where you select a frequency to remove essentially from that sound. To put it in layman terms, listen to the beginning of that tune and the way the bass sweeps in, and that's what you've got as a low pass filter. Outside of the filter, the sound chip is very, very common of even synthesizers of nowadays. There's always talk around that the SID was a sound chip that should have had a synthesizer around it. Indeed, the designer of the SID chip later went on to found Ensoniq, who produced synths and samplers. He came from a synthesizer background and wanted to create a chip that sounded proper, sounded good. At the time, computers were very beepy and blippy. A Spectrum was around about the same time that had a beeper, Atari 2600 and so on. Very weak sounding chips, and I've touched on this before. I'm not a fan of a lot of other sound chips because they're very weak sounding. FM sound chips are very, very weak in their nature. This was a purpose made sound chip rather than an off the shelf sound chip that was bought from a company like Texas Instruments that had all the elements of a synthesizer in it. Like I say, even synthesizers being released of nowadays, which are based around sound chips and circuitry very similar to the SID, have the same type of basis for creating sounds. I'm not going to bore you about that too much because it's going a little bit too in depth, but safe to say what was relevant then is still relevant now in terms of sound generation. And the SID was quite unique at the time. In a computer, you would have to pay a lot of money in a synthesizer to get a like for like sound. Now the SID ended up being a very unique sounding instrument, characterized by very similar sounds throughout a lot of games. That's the best way and the easiest way I can put it, but it is capable of so much more than probably what you heard in a lot of games. This next tune is not necessarily one of the best SID tunes you'll hear in your time, but it shows for me is what you can do with the SID chip. This is from a demo released in 2008 by Instinct and Horizon called Amplifier. Check that out on YouTube. It's a really nice looking demo, and that's Amplifier, it's spelled AMPLIFIRE, Amplifier. This, like I say, is an example of a SID doing a much more current sounding piece of house music, essentially. And that's what really caught my ear on this one, is the tightness of the bass and the beats. And it really sounds far more relevant to more current day dance music than stuff that was produced back in the 80s and 90s. Again, I'll say it's not one of the best tunes in the world, just shows you what it's capable of though. lot of SID musicians where they're also programmers, and to get the best out of a SID, you had to be a programmer. People like Martin Galway had their own music drivers, essentially, which would be coded into the game, and in that driver would be their own unique sound. Now, I'm not even going to pretend to know how they coded these drivers to make the sounds, but having used a couple of SID packages to create music on the Commodore 64, it shows you how you would create a sound and then a tune, and that essentially is a sound driver packaging all that up. And now, like I say, a lot of individual musicians had their own sound drivers, and I know Martin Galway was particularly and Rob Hubbard as well were particularly secretive about how they coded their sounds and their music. Now, Galway was one of the first to use samples in a game tune rather than just chip generated sounds. By his own admission, he didn't write the code himself. He found out how samples were played from another package, another music package, and then put it into his own sound driver, music driver, and then it was used in a game, which was Arkanoid. Now, he used this technique in a lot of games, and it was, I guess, copied and ripped out of his code by other musicians. And I wasn't a big fan of it. I really wasn't a big fan of it. The first tune I heard at the time with this sample type sound in it was Combat School, which the Arkanoid tune I'm going to play you in a minute uses pretty much the same beat. But Combat School to me sounds messy and horrible, and I really didn't like it. The Arkanoid tune that I'm about to play you is a much better example of using those samples. So this is Martin Galway and Arkanoid. And a really good example of stretching the abilities of the C64 a little bit further, and I believe the samples were played on a fourth channel somehow. And that was the beauty of coders back then. They had very limited power, a very limited scope, but they'd push the boundaries a little bit further. And that's a great example of a very musical tune, but also pushing the boundaries a little bit further. So Martin Galway there, you're getting the first sample used in a published game on the C64. And one thing to note is that Martin Galway is probably the most well-known C64 musician that there was, alongside Rob Hubbard, I'd probably say. His list of titles include the legendary Ocean Loader, the original Ocean Loader tune, the Ocean Loader 2 tune as well. Parallax, Rambo's in there as well. Hyper Sports, the conversions. I mean, it's pretty exclusively Ocean for many, many of his tunes. But great musician, still in the industry today, very, very well respected, and rightfully so, earned his place up there with the best of them on the Commodore 64. Coming into a different type of tune now, and this is a more recent tune, this one. when I say recent, it's actually 9 years ago, but when you say 2004, it doesn't really feel that long ago. This is from a musician called Drax, and he flies the flag for Maniacs of Noise, which you probably will be more familiar with, and also goes by the name of Thomas Mogensen. Has been active in the demo scene, I believe, but is just still, like I say, flying the flag for Maniacs of Noise. This is a tune called Clarence. It's a really nice, complete sounding tune with wonderful chord changes and melodies that sort of, you know, echo old Pet Shop Boys and Erasure. It's fantastic. This is a really, really nice tune. Sid sounds and Sid tunes for yourself. There's so many different ways, but the biggest and best way is the High Voltage Sid Collection. Give that a little search on the internet, and there is some ridiculously long list of Sid tunes within that collection. Around about 43,000, I think, now. Tunes from pretty much every single musician ever to grace the Sid chip. Because there's so many, there is literally, without telling a lie, thousands of tunes that we're missing out on, which could be very, very, very good and up there with some of the best tunes. Of course, we only know of the ones that we've heard, or that we've heard through the grapevine, or we've heard on other podcasts, we've heard through playing on emulation. There are so many on there that it's just ridiculous. Where else has the Sid chip been used? So, other than Commodore's own products, being the Commodore 64, the Commodore 128, and if you're to believe Wikipedia, the CBM2, which I didn't know about. It was also used in a proper synthesizer in about 1999 by a company called Electron from Sweden, who still makes synthesizers today. Very, very good synthesizers, I might add, and samplers. Brilliant company they are. They decided to produce a proper synthesizer around the Sid called the Sid Station, and it had a proper OS, a control panel, was fully MIDI compatible, you could use in the studio, and it was used by many, many big musicians at the time, and goes for a pretty penny on eBay. Electron's instruments are one company that the prices stay really, really good on eBay. Same for a lot of other synthesizers, but particularly so with Electron, because they're quite exclusive. They don't make huge volumes of synthesizers. And the Sid Station is a bit of a legend. You've only got to Google it to, or you may use another search provider if you so desire. You only have to search on the internet to see that it's the Sid Station was used heavily in pop music, in dance music, and so on. And another way that it's been developed into a synthesizer is via it's almost an open source hardware and software platform called MIDIBox. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs on this, but essentially there's an OS that sits underneath it, and a hardware platform which has been designed so you can easily build a synthesizer or some kind of MIDI controller. And the one that I've got is called a Samich SID, and this is a DIY project you have to build for yourself. Still haven't built it. It's still sitting in my cupboard as components, which is frustrating when I really want to use it as a synth, but I've still not got the electronics ability to build it. But it's got two SID connectors, so I can put two SID chips into it and essentially have six channels of SID town. Unlike the SID station, which I don't think had this ability, it has the ability to do those arpeggiated chords, which I spoke about earlier. So you can get one channel just running one of these quality little chords with loads of notes going on up and down the octave range, while one of the other channels is doing a bass line, another channel is doing a bass drum, and so on. So I'm really looking forward to building that one day in the future when my soldering skills and my electronics ability is better than blowing stuff up. I've spent sort of nearly £200 on this thing, and I'm going to be putting a couple of SID chips in it, so I don't want to be creating something that's going to blow not only the actual synth up, but the SID chips as well. So that's synthesizer's been built around it, and I'm sure there's been a lot of other homebrew style projects. There's plugins for current music packages which emulate the SID sound. Electron themselves have produced an emulation of the SID chip which they've used in their synths as well. So there's many ways you can listen to the synth nowadays, the SID synth, and there's many ways you can create your own sounds with the SID. Also, if you're interested in making music on it, I recommend checking out a package called Goat Tracker, which is, I think, it's cross-platform PC, Mac and Linux. It's heavy going to begin with, but you can essentially create music on the SID chip, and it can be used and saved out in a format that can be used on the Commodore itself. It's something I'm genuinely intending to get into at some stage, having fiddled around a little bit. There's also a package called, I think it was DMC, which is actually on the Commodore 64, which is relatively easy to get into if you've used some other music packages before. That's freely downloadable on the internet. Get onto something like Lemon 64 and you can download DMC quite easily and use it on emulation. So there's some ways you can listen, hear and use the SID chip yourself. You might feel a desire to go out there and try and be the next Rob Hubbard or Martin Galway. Let me just tell you, it's not easy. Back into the gaming space now, and this is again a great musician, Ben Daglish, with his tune from Deathwish 3. Pointless game that was, based on the film. You just shot people, mowed people down with rocket launchers, shot people and mowed people down with rocket launchers, and that was pretty much it. It was quite an uninspiring game, but one as a kid you'd spend a lot of time on because you loved shooting people as a kid, that's for sure. Anyway, coming up is a tune by Jonathan Dunn now, which Swainy played in his show, playing the Spectrum version, obviously, because that was about the Spectrum. This is Weklamond, and this is one of those tunes where I can't really say which version I prefer. When I listen to the Spectrum version, the 1 to 8K anyway, it suits that sound chip. There's something about the AY sound chip that really suits that tune. But then I'll listen again on the Commodore 64, and I like that as well. And it's a real tough one to really nail down and say I prefer one over the other. I think they've both got their pros and cons on it. I think overall the tune does suit the AY chip a little bit more, but work it out for yourself. Here's the Commodore 64 version of Wet Le Mans by Jonathan Dunn. This is a show about lesser known Sid tunes. I thought I'd got to chuck in something by one of the masters, Rob Hubbard, renowned for his ability with the Sid chip. Now the tune thrust, or the game thrust even, was a budget release, I believe, by Firebird, and Rob Hubbard created this masterpiece of a tune. Now I don't know whether this is lesser known or not, it's something that's always stuck with me, but it's not one that you hear come up in those classic conversations about what was the best music on the Commodore 64. Thrust, I think, sums up what Rob Hubbard means when he said in an interview that he was pretty much writing music for himself. He was writing music that he liked. He could do anything he wanted and it would get into a game. And that's not to say that his stuff was rubbish from time to time. It absolutely wasn't. Most of it was cracking. But this tune is a masterpiece. Very melodic at times. Doesn't really relate to a space game at all. And Thrust being a sort of clone of Lunar Lander from the arcade back in the late 70s, early 80s. This tune doesn't sort of say space shooter type game to me. But it does just say quality, and the way he was making music of any genre and making it work in a game. And I'm hearing some 80s bands in here, maybe a bit of Cure in the way the bass and the melodies go together. The sort of instrumental drum breakdown at around about 3 minutes really smacks of, I don't know, it's a bit too messy to be Kraftwerk, but there's something almost ahead of its time about it, from moving into 808 State and the way they could sort of piece drums together, and even more modern stuff that you're hearing nowadays in dance music. It's just, this is a really, really great tune, and I can't wax lyrical about this much more than what I have done. So this is Thrust, and this is Rob Hubbard.
Thank you.
sorry to play the whole tune in R&B. It deserves it. There's something really, really special about that tune, the way it molds and melds into something slightly different all the way through, but keeping the same basic riff going. Absolutely stunning. Really, really good. But no Sid discussion is complete without Jerome Tell of Maniacs and Noise making an appearance. And this one is from a budget game called Battle Valley, which I really, really liked. It's a sideways scrolling shoot 'em up where you could either be a helicopter or a tank, not in the same way as Silkworm. And it's really, if you've never played it, I really recommend playing it. But the title tune on this is really good, and I think this is probably one of the lesser known Jerome Tell tunes. Maniacs and Noise, great group of people, done some absolutely fantastic music right across the platforms. Some Amiga tracks in particular, On the Slaught, was particularly good, but this one from the game Battle Valley and Jerome Tell. From another demo from the demo scene, and this is more recent, from a demo by Oxyron called Coma Light 13, released at the end of last year, well, around about October time. I recommend you pop onto YouTube and just Google this, Oxyron Coma Light 13. If you've never seen a demo before, I'd recommend you have a look at some, because they're really quite special. I'm going to be doing a podcast on demo scenes in general coming up in the next few months. But this really is a great example of what the Commodore 64 can do. Even if you have no idea really what's going on and what a demo is, just have a look at it because it really is good. And the music in this, absolutely fantastic. Written by a guy who goes by the name of Fanta. Also, Alexander Roch is his real name. This is from that demo. This is the part three tune. I just love the way that tune twists and turns through, starting off with a quite dark and sinister beginning and moving into an almost dubsteppy kind of middle section, which just eases straight back into a traditional kind of Sid tune. Yeah, really, really nice. And it's about time I finish off the show now. I've rambled on about the Sid for far too long. I've probably bored you all silly with my passion for this kind of stuff. But I hope you get an insight into the kind of tune I like from a sound chip and the kind of sound I like from a sound chip. So you've been listening to Retro Asylum. This is the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. Get yourself over to the website, www.retroasylum.com. It's just had a revamp. It's looking absolutely brilliant now. The forum's picking up, loads of new members. So come and show yourself on there. Don't just lurk around. We love to have you on the forum, making yourself known, contributing to the community, and just telling us what you like or even dislike about the show. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review. Always very important. I'd like to thank everyone that has left us an iTunes review up until now. And we've got a competition running at the moment, and this is to win tickets, a pair of tickets to the Revival show, Revival Retro show, up there, down there, depending on where you are in the UK, Wolverhampton Racecourse, 18th and 19th of May. It's being run by Chris Wilkins of Retro Fusion. Retro Fusion is a nice little retro mag that's been around for a while now. It's only done four or five issues, all quite collectible in their own right. Brilliant stuff. Check it out on the Retro Fusion website. This competition, how do you enter? How do you win? What do you need to do? Over on the forum of retroasylum.com in the Retro Asylum feedback area, this is the podcast feedback area, there's a thread where Andy has posted a time on Sonic, a time on how quickly he got through one of the levels on Sonic. Posted up a video to show how it was done. Can you beat him? If you can beat him, then you are in with a chance of winning a couple of tickets to this revival event on the 18th and 19th of May. So get yourself registered on the forum, find this thread, post your time with some evidence, either a video or a photo, ideally a video, especially if your time is particularly quick. We might think, hold on a minute, there's been a bit of photoshopping going on there, but post it up anyway and you'll be entered into the competition. Follow myself on Twitter if you want to. It is Wilshie Dread, all one word. Follow Retro Asylum, which is Retro Asylum 1. Find us on Facebook. Interesting comments and posts going on at all times. So to finish off the show, this is certainly not a lesser known tune. This is one of the absolute classics from a very well known musician. I've played one of his tracks already on this show. Martin Galway with a legendary piece of music from the game by Sensible Software called Parallax, cracking game, released by Ocean, I believe. And this is just 11 minutes. 11 minutes of music. This is not any kind of... this could not be pigeonholed as a genre of music. It's just weird, it's eclectic, it's melodic, it's just wonderful. Parallax by Martin Galway. This is the title tune. Thank you for listening.
This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Encore.
Thank you.